WMFO Medford. WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary, Lisa Nichols, and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Spell that out on your phone. Dial in. We love to hear from our listeners. Coming up later tonight, we're going to take a look at what's going on with North Korea through their own little fireworks display.
Again.
Yesterday. Yay, North Korea.
More things going. Boom.
It was quite timely.
Keep going on that. And we're going to be getting you caught up on everything that's happening in the world. It's another slow news week.
What day is it?
Oh, God.
It's Wednesday, so it's show day.
Yeah.
We're here.
This is a holiday weekend.
It
just kind of throws everybody off.
It does feel like Monday.
Last night, I'm like, oh, it's Sunday.
I just was confused yesterday.
Last night, I was like, shoot, I have to work tomorrow.
I didn't have Monday off, so I was just confused yesterday. I was like, I'm not at work. I don't know.
But it's not the weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
How are you feeling? A little bit better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was until just before showtime. we'll leave it at that. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I seem to be on the mend.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
You look a little nimble today and agile.
You're a bit more sprightly.
I'm not stiff and walking around, you know.
You still have that curmudgeon look on your
back
face.
Back pain, muscle cramps, all that. No, I mean, that's actually starting to clear up a little bit.
You're not straining to hit the buttons on the control
board, which is a plus.
That's just every show. You can't do it.
Went to the casino over the weekend, and that was...
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it lucrative or the opposite of lucrative?
I lost $50. I should have just stuck to video poker.
Honestly, that's not bad for a for a casino trip.
Because I cashed out $140 on video poker and pretty much lost all my money playing the slots.
Which one did you go to?
Plain Ridge. Don't go.
Oh, yeah.
Don't. Have you been?
I have, and the only time I've been there was after the Patriots lost in the playoffs last year. One of my friends had a really great
Patriots
idea.
Patriots didn't lose in the playoffs last year.
2 years ago.
Okay.
Not when we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2 years ago, I was the only white girl, I'd say, on the floor. A lot of sharks. yeah. But you know what my problem with casinos is? I think that, and I deal with a lot of cash, so, you know, I think I'm like a high roller pulling out $100 bills, yeah. Like they're Monopoly money, and then I walk out, I'm like, oh,
right.
I might have lost a grand.
Well,
see,
oops.
I'm in there on a Sunday afternoon. The median age in the place is 70.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you bring your cat sweater?
My grandmothers love
no,
Foxwoods.
but it's like yeah, it's wall to wall elderly in there.
Oh yeah,
like you can't find. I'm like the only person in there I think is under the age of 50.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for those scooters.
And you got the scooters and you got that whole thing going on, but the place is so tiny because the legislation says it can only be a certain number of machines. The place is so tiny that you gotta wait in line to play anything. And with slot machines, that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's like 10 slot
machines.
They're
waiting in line to pull.
Nobody leaves
them. Bar.
And God forbid if somebody comes off of it after being on it for an hour and you win like $5.
Yeah.
You're going to be followed around and given dirty looks for the next. Well,
no, because I'm sitting there, I'm watching people racking up like, you know, $150, $200 wins on these slot machines. And it's like they're not leaving because they're racking up $200 wins.
And believing mm-hmm. it's going to happen again.
And the only machines that you can get out are the ones that aren't paying out.
Yeah.
So finally, they got like five old school video poker machines like stuck in a corner that you got to go way out of your way to go find them. I go over there,
Derek's,
and I'm like,
just chain smoking in the corner.
There's no smoking.
Oh, none, really?
No smoking. But I'm over there and I'm like, well, at least I got video poker and it's, you know, well, it was hitting those.
I'll always remember I had a show at there's Catch a Rising Star in Twin Rivers.
Yes.
In Rhode Island.
I've been there.
And I had a show there, but I got there like the first night I got there super early and, you know, it was pretty packed. But then the second night, there was a huge blizzard, and I was like, I'm getting paid for this. I'm not going to not go. I'll just leave at 4 and go 20 miles per hour from Boston. But I remember getting there and looking at the, like, there were still a good amount of people there, and I was like, this is straight up devotion.
Yeah.
Like, these people drove.
Well, no, they've been there for 3 days
to play
and they
penny side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't recommend the Plain Ridge Park.
No, penny slots.
No. Don't recommend it. What I do recommend, however, is being informed. So, news. Let's.
Oh, yeah, we have that.
Let's find out what's going on with some of that.
Right, so, in national news, 44 states and D.C. are mounting a bipartisan rebellion against President Donald Trump's commission on vote fraud by either declining to release any of the requested data or by providing only limited information. The Presidential Advisory Commission on Voter Integrity's request for extensive personal information about voters has ignited a firestorm in many states, including from both Republican and Democrat officials who oversee elections. The panel is seeking dates of birth, political party, last 4 digits of Social Security numbers, if available, voter history from 2006 onward, active-inactive status, canceled status, information regarding any felony convictions, information regarding voter registration in another state, information regarding military status, and overseas citizen information. 19 states, both red and blue, are flat out refusing to comply with the request, citing privacy concerns and some claiming the 15-member vote fraud panel is politically motivated.
Yeah, this is backfiring badly.
Yeah.
And this is this, like, unprecedented show of bipartisan. 45 states, as you said, yeah. Shay, are refusing to hand over private voter data to Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach. And he's the vice chair of Donald Trump's Presidential Commission on, as we call it, election integrity. Because we have a lot of that here in Washington.
I do like that there. This is like the first time in a while that there's been any sort of solidarity between states that usually have no solidarity.
Here's my question. What's the problem? What's wrong with this?
Invasion of privacy.
It's not. I can go buy that information right now. I don't know why the White House isn't doing it because I have run campaigns. I can go buy that information. I can get everything but the last 4 digits of the Social Security number.
I was going to say, do you essentially think it's a
try on being honest with the states and saying we want the information rather than going behind as past administrations have.
No, I think
transparency is what we're trying to accomplish here in Washington.
I think the states have something to hide. I think the voter rolls are a mess. I think there are a lot of dead people who are still on the rolls. I think there are a lot of people who should not be on the rolls for other reasons who are on the rolls. Mm-hmm. And none of these state attorney generals, none of these state state secretaries want to get caught screwing up the job for the last 10, 20, 30 years.
That is a fair point, but the problem, you asked what the problem was, the problem is precisely what these representatives have said, which is the motivation. The motivation is not to weed out the dead people who are still somehow voting.
Yes, it is. That's why the commission exists.
No, but the motivation is Trump's ego.
Come on, you're running a country, and I get it that he does have a huge ego, but we're really going to spend that much time on trying to figure out and say, look, all these people were actually dead that voted for Hillary Clinton. It's trying to find, again, integrity, and maybe I'm being completely naive in the situation and giving somebody the benefit of the doubt, Trump being that person, but if you are trying to run a country, what is right and what is wrong, what is legal and what is illegal, it is illegal to have somebody that is dead voting.
Oh, absolutely.
That is voter fraud,
and I'm not disregarding that. But at the same time, I think it's a red herring. I think it's Trump from the beginning of his presidency, for the first like 3 months of his presidency.
Could happen.
That's another story. For the first 3 months of his presidency, he kept talking about, no, look at the map. No, look, I totally won. There were people pretending, there were people who weren't alive. It's something that should be addressed. I do not disagree with that.
He lost by 3 million popular votes. Those 3 million popular votes came out of California. California shouldn't be allowed to vote for anything. As far as I'm concerned. You've lived there. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I lived there and left there.
Ridiculous. This is why the Electoral College is still relevant in this day and age, is because California. But here, let's
he just called the Electoral College relevant.
Let's set aside.
Do you have something to throw at him, Lisa?
Let's set aside this ego argument that the liberals enjoy throwing around and say, oh, Donald Trump's just trying to make himself feel better. We need to know who is on the rolls.
Again,
we need to
know. I am not discounting that, and I'm not saying that's not true. I'm saying that the motivation, the bottom line, baseline motivation
for it.
That's
based on your opinion.
Is not. It's based on your opinion. At the dude.
But how many situations
behaves.
That has Donald Trump been in during this entire presidency where he has boasted about his ego and talked about it, but actually when it comes down to it, strategically is trying to do something that is going to better the country. And again, I'm not completely 100% backing him, but you can't base opinion on you thinking that Donald Trump is only doing this to make himself feel better. Hey, Hillary Clinton had a lot of voter fraud going on. Look at me.
But I'm not saying that that's the only reason. Again, I do believe this is a valid thing to do. And I'm not saying that that's the only basis of this, but you can only read so many tweets from somebody talking about, oh no, I actually won by a lot. It's just voter fraud. You can only read so. I'm not saying is it this or is it that? I'm not saying it's definitely one or the other, but I'm saying that regardless of anything, it's a factor. This would not be happening were it not for his ego, were it not for him trying to make himself feel and look better because he wants to say, oh, no, actually, I didn't lose the popular vote by that much.
We see it every single election, regardless of what state we're talking about.
But there's never been
fraud. I mean, look at how many illegals are voting.
No. There's no voter
New Mexico,
fraud, Lisa.
Arizona.
Voter fraud is impossible.
I never said that.
The left has told us that over and over and over again.
In some states in the Southwest, you don't even have to show your ID.
This is her. Voter fraud is impossible, Lisa. It doesn't exist. It's a myth. It's made up. Here's reality, okay? And by the way, Shay, we just spent 6 months on the travel ban with all these courts sitting around saying, well, Donald Trump said he wanted to ban Muslims, so that's why he wants to pass the law. And guess what? The Supreme Court, which actually does its job and looks at the law, said, it doesn't matter what Donald Trump said. This law, as written, can stand.
And I'm not discounting
that. So I don't
give
a hoot what the guy says. These states that are refusing to hand over this information are in possession of public information. Any information generated by the United States government or by a state government is public information. Our tax dollars paid for it, and it is the property of the people. The president of the United States is one of the people.
Then why doesn't he just walk in and take it?
Because they're asking nicely. Because that's the way you do it. You ask nicely. Please give us this voter information.
Because look in the opposite. And then you find out, oh, I'm sure MSNBC, CNN would have a field day if they found out that Trump was going around to every single state and taking in every single voter information for the... Could you imagine the optics of what that would be?
What are you going to do, send the FBI down to grab the servers and take it?
But on the flip side of that, I could see being un-American, withholding information for no reason. This is illegal.
That's exactly what it is.
If it was just the fact that it is red states, the fact that it is states that overwhelmingly voted for Trump.
I don't care what states it is.
It's
illegal.
It doesn't matter if blue, green, purple, yellow.
It's illegal.
This is the same thing with people coming in the country illegally. And everybody says, well, what about this person? You know, he's really great part of the community. And it doesn't matter. There's a right and a wrong in this country. And so many people, and especially, I hate to say it, many liberals completely bypass that whole mentality of what is legal and what is illegal because it's just America.
It makes me feel good.
But this is what I'm saying is that, I'm not discounting the fact that this is a valid thing to want to look into. It's a valid request. But I guess ultimately what I'm saying is that it's not surprising that so many states are withholding this information based on that he was such a little...
Doesn't matter.
But I'm saying, had he not come out and with all this stuff about, oh, I actually won by way more. It's just that voter fraud and blah, 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 blah.
Doesn't matter.
If he had kept his, I know. Can I finish?
It doesn't matter what you're bringing up is relevant to this conversation.
No, what I'm saying is that perhaps that lent itself to why so many states are withholding
withheld information because you first had your three states, California, Virginia, and Kentucky, saying that we are not going to give it. Few more states jump on board. Few more states say we're going to give you partial information. And then everybody's saying, you know what? Our system is completely broken, and there's going to be information that they find that is wrong. Yeah. We can be persecuted for it. So, hey, every other state is doing it. And you know what I say? Good for the five states that actually are saying, we'll give you all the information because our system is legit.
Listen to that young lady, because she knows what she's talking about. That's exactly why they don't want to do it. They don't want anyone to know what a mess their voter rolls are.
I'm not saying that it's entirely motivated by the Trump agenda. I'm saying that it is partially. I'm saying that at least for some of these states, it lent itself to it. Probably particularly California.
Regardless of the red states, the lion's share of our population lives. Regardless of the red states that for the majority did vote for Donald Trump, it doesn't matter. What matters is that they are going to be revealed as, even if they don't know how many deceased people are voting, or they just don't want to give up the information. They feel like they don't have to. So why point a finger when
you
don't have to?
Here's the worst thing about
this. You know what?
This.
It's because I want to continue voting for my grandfather.
Here's the worst thing about this, okay? This is going to go to the courts, and the courts are going to decide that the states have to turn over the information.
Of course.
Because those are public documents. End of story. That's it. Washington requests public documents. You have to turn over public documents. The road to get there is going to waste millions of dollars of taxpayer money at the federal and at the state level as everybody lawyers up and goes five rounds through the court system. So instead of doing the right thing by the people, all these states that are sitting around saying, $2 billion budget gap here in Massachusetts, we can't afford this. All these states sitting around saying Illinois is going bankrupt. All these states that can't afford anything. New Jersey can't afford to keep their beaches open. Maine's shut down. They're going to waste money fighting the White House to score cheap political points instead of just doing the right thing and handing the information over and then having the Justice Department and the White House come back and be like, who the hell's been in charge of these voter rolls for the last 30 years? Because half of what you got on here is crap. That's exactly how this is going to play out. It's going to play out.
I could comment on that there's a lot about this system that is broken, but since you just 2 minutes ago spoke in favor of the Electoral College, maybe we should move on to local news so that we all don't strangle each other,
you know,
with our headphones. Well, in local news, speaking of terrible people, a Quincy woman,
not Derek,
working. Oh, I meant Trump, not Derek. He's just kind of bad. a Quincy woman working as an elderly caregiver was accused of using an 88-year-old client's debit card to withdraw more than $15,000 from her bank account between February and June. Teresa Jensen, 49, is facing 28 counts of larceny over $250 from a person aged 60 or older, assault and battery on a person aged 60 or older, and possession of Percocet. She was arrested on June 27th and pled not guilty at her arraignment in Quincy the following day. She was released without bail and is due back in court on September 8th. Police in Weymouth were called on June 19th by the victim's daughter, who wanted to report several fraudulent withdrawals from her mother's bank account. The victim's daughter serves as her health care proxy and power of attorney and stated from February 22nd to June 12th, there were 35 fraudulent ATM withdrawals ranging from $20 to $500. 27 of the withdrawals were for $500.
What's Derek's number one rule?
Steal small.
Yeah. No, you know, I mean, this is reason 587.
No. Here's
why I hate people.
My number one rule.
Number one, be nice to the old people.
Don't rip off the elderly.
Yeah.
Number two, steal small. Right? That's the order right there.
This is why the terrorists hate us.
Yeah. Because we do reasons. Stuff like this.
No, you know, again, as you just said, be nice to the elderly. And this is another one of those stories that kind of just pulls at your heart, especially if you're a compassionate person and think how awful that is. And of course, you put one of your grandparents or your mother and father in that predicament where somebody is taking care of you. Now, my question is, yeah, the victim's daughter serves as a healthcare proxy, and I assume would be around. How is this happening? How is this woman, is she not having any understanding of her mother's finances?
Possibly.
Or just not paying attention or cares.
Well,
tough to say.
Well, yeah. The tough thing about this is that, which I feel not just with the elderly, it's the same with, you know, childcare. It's the same with anything where you want to be able to trust the people who are taking care of your loved ones.
Oh, it's the same thing with babysitters.
And unfortunately, a lot of times what happens when you do decide to trust that person is you kind of fall off the map a little bit. Like her daughter probably didn't even think to pay attention to it because she was like, oh, I hired this woman to take care of her. Like, she's cool. Like, mm-hmm. I can focus on my own life.
No, of course.
And not for lack of loving her mother, but for lack, like, because it's a lot to take care of someone who can't take care
absolutely.
Of themselves.
I mean, my grandmother had that for my great-grandmother, a woman from Haiti, came in and lived in the house and took care of her. She became part of the family. But the truth is, like you just said, you instill all this trust in another person that, again, is taking care of one of the most important people in your lives, if not the most important person, because it is difficult for the average person. You have to work and go to a job, whereas a lot of these times, elderly people need a 24-hour care. And
I was struck in traffic behind an adult daycare bus today, so
that is the hardest part, though, when you instill so much trust and then that becomes broken, or you see everything's fine on the outside. It's happiness. The mother is being taken care of. You know, linens are being changed and whatnot.
Watch me make her
soup.
Then,
We had a caregiver steal all my mom's jewelry.
Mm. Well,
this kind of thing happens all the time. And by the way, prior to that, we had a live-in health aide from, I think she was from Kenya. Fantastic. Magnificent. Like, took her job seriously. Did an awesome job all the time. We ultimately got to a point where you couldn't afford to keep her anymore.
Yeah.
And she went, and guess what? It was the Americans that we hired One of them was the one that stole all my mom's jewelry, and we're talking about thousands of dollars worth of jewelry here.
Lisa's right. This is why everyone hates us.
We're not talking about like cheap costume crap. We're talking about like nice stuff.
Yeah, like pearls, diamonds,
Shrev Crump and Lowe, diamonds, and yeah. So we think we know who did it. You can never prove it, of course.
Short of setting up security cameras around your mother's house.
Yeah, it's.
But again, it's same thing with, you know, somebody watching your animal or your kids. It's come to that point in society where now you have to actually set up a camera to make sure that
those teddy bears,
the treatment is being done properly. And because that's the last thing, especially with parents having to put them in a home, which is completely away from you. Elderly people do not like that.
You know how she's going to skate on this? Our friend in Quincy? Percocet. She was stealing to feed her drug habit.
Yeah.
It's not my her mind. Fault. She's a drug addict. Look.
So sad.
I understand that addiction is an illness, but I also understand that people who are addicts should not be caring for anybody.
Yes.
So if you're taking the drugs and you're stealing from your clients to pay for the drugs, that's a problem. And we need to put that in a different category than the people who are addicted and just can't get off of this stuff.
And I agree. And it is, like Lisa said, it is the reason I hate most people.
Yeah.
Like this story. That's why there were a couple, like you said, it was kind of a slow news week. But there were a couple local stories I could have chosen for this. And I chose this specifically to show just what some people are capable of.
There are plenty of
addicts who want to get better and can't, but still have some sort of moral compass.
Yeah. Hey, you know all that money that we're going to be spending on all those courts to get all that voter information? Yeah, Massachusetts could use that because we have a rampant opium addiction problem.
Yeah.
Massachusetts would love that money, but no, we have a deficit.
Yeah.
Can't open. We're closing all down the rehabs.
But boy, we got money to fight a public records request from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love this state. In world news, Turkey has made aggressive moves along its border with Syria that threaten to escalate into a new conflict in the region. The head of the Syrian Kurdish YPG militia, which is backed by the United States in the fight against Islamic State, told Reuters that he considered Turkish deployments near Kurdish-held areas in northwestern Syria a declaration of war. Turkey's Deputy Prime Minister Numan Kurtulmus told Reuters that his deployments are defensive in nature, but added that Turkey will respond to any hostile actions from the YPG militia. Turkey considers the YPG militia an affiliate of the Turkey-based PKK group, which has been fighting as an insurgent group in Turkey since the 1980s. Apparently, they've been firing mortars.
And more fun in the Middle East.
Apparently, they've been firing artillery.
Syria particularly.
At each other on either
Syria
side of the border.
Syria is the new Iraq.
And we've talked about this. Turkey got involved in the conflict, the war for Syria. And while the United States and the Russians were busy bombing actual military targets, the Turks sent like one plane to drop a couple of bombs on Syria and then sent a bunch of other planes to go blow up the Kurds.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure many longtime listeners have heard me talk about when we discuss anything with Erdogan in Syria and Turkey. Turkey has, for the past how many years, and more specifically a focus on the past year, Erdogan has positioned his country to be right in the middle, to be your good guy, to be your friend, but also to be your enemy. I'm gonna, you know, watch both sides.
They're like that bipolar cousin.
And the problem with doing that is you can't come to the United States, you can't tell Russia that, yes, we're actually on your side. We're here to protect you. We're your ally here in the Middle East, so you need to do things for us as well. But in turn, you're letting ISIS run oil fields, basically pipes underneath into Syria. Oh, hey, really nice back door. You can run them right under Turkey. And then what's happening is Erdogan and every single one of his family is buying all multi-million dollar real estate in Eastern Europe. And nobody questions it.
Here's a potential solution here that
I'm confused.
That I'm willing to put forward. You take Bashar al-Assad and Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Put them in a room,
mm-hmm.
Lock the doors, give them a couple pool cues and a couple empty whiskey bottles. One of them gets to walk out.
One of them maybe.
So it's like the movie Saw, but with countries, you're saying.
Both of these guys, I mean, I don't know how anybody could seriously talk about regime change in Syria and not talk about regime change in Turkey. Mm-hmm. Either we're going to have no regime change at all, and we're going to continue enabling these clowns.
But that's what I'm saying. So many times, and especially media, there really isn't that much focus on Erdogan as a leader itself. And he is in this position again.
Because he's our quote-unquote friend.
He sits back and lets all this... we look at, you know, Putin and what he's doing with Russia, and people accuse of him of using, you know, United States basically and our president as a marionette. And he's conducting this whole thing. Essentially, on a smaller scale, that's what Erdogan is doing. He's orchestrating all of these movements in the Middle East that aren't for any benefit or any demise.
Well, for him.
Yes.
Here's the thing. If he's
more so he's benefiting for himself, but not the actual conflict that's going on in the area.
If he starts getting into this and he starts destabilizing and wiping out a militia that is affiliated with the United States, at what point does the United States have to get involved in this? Mm-hmm. And either shoot down some planes or very strong or make it very clear to Turkey, you get back on your side of the border, you're going to have a problem here.
Which will then, of course,
escalate into we shoot down some planes,
yes,
and then we're shooting at them, they're shooting at us, and
we have another enemy.
There's more war in Syria.
Yeah. Well, Syria is basically
Syria is bulldozer ready at this point. Yeah. There is nothing worth fighting over in Syria anymore. Like, it's all been leveled.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the thing. It's like Syria is the poor discarded child of this world. Like, it's the,
it pretty much is.
Yeah, like, it's
a war-torn country, and you have more...
And war-torn, like, not even in and of itself in a North Korea, South Korea kind of way. It's war-torn and just, like, it war-torn, feels like everyone who's in the mood to fight, everyone who's in the mood to mess with stuff...
Go to Syria.
...messes with Syria.
Yeah.
And like, that's what you've seen in the past year. You've seen how many millions of people, because may or may not have had sarin gas attempted to be poured on them, moving through Turkey, may I say, because Turkey's like, come on in, but we're going to shoo you over on to the beaches where you can get on these wonderful little boats that are going to take you to
somewhere
this
promised land. That might accept
and
you.
You might die. You might get shot on the beaches in Italy or Croatia. Yeah. We're not sure, but we're not going to tell you that. But we are the gateway to peace.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, 5 million Syrians just up and left the country because they got fed up with it.
But this is what you're seeing again, and we talked about it last week, where there are continual conflicts that are going on. Erdogan, again, is opening his doors, but letting people go right through.
Yeah.
But, you know, no sarin gas.
Done with this guy.
Come on. Well, today in sports news, we learned another black eye for Fox News. Fox News Sports and president of the national networks parted ways on Monday. Jamie Horowitz is out at Fox Sports, effective immediately, according to the network. Fox Sports has not provided a reason behind the split, but the decision comes amid a sexual harassment investigation. The Los Angeles Times, reported. Horowitz hired litigator Patty Glasser to represent him. Fox Sports COO Eric Shanks sent a memo to his staff last Monday morning. Quote, I regret to inform you that Jamie Horowitz, president of the national networks of Fox Sports, will be leaving Fox Sports effective immediately. We realize this news comes as a surprise to many of you, but we are confident in our decision, end quote. So once again, Horowitz's dismissal comes again less than a week after the investigations happened with the parent company, Fox News. So this has been trickling down. This just got announced, reported on with the memo on Monday.
Fox is on top of the ratings right now, and Murdoch is also attempting to buy Sky over in the United Kingdom. So they don't want the slightest whiff of scandal. Somebody puts up their hand and says, he touched me, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is the way it should have been all along. But because Fox had a particular problem under Roger Ailes, they're moving much faster on this stuff.
No, of course. And mainstream media is more likely to pick up on a story like that because you hear...
to pounce because they already...
Sexual harassment, Fox... has to be a story. It has to be something going on. And of course, it needs to be right at the top.
It's so like a perfect news concoction.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hate to say, and of course, a story comes to my attention very easily, having been in sports broadcasting for so long, and I've seen it. And Derek, we've had many conversations on this. It is...
Well, it's not just that you were in sports broadcasting. It's that you were in sports broadcasting and you are an owner of boobs. Those two things come together to create a unique circumstance.
Yes, but it is. It, you know, I've seen really awful things happen and really bad things said to me where it was... I wouldn't even put it at the sexual harassment line, but... It's a hard market for women. You are constantly having to prove yourself. Again, I'm a witness to this and how difficult it was. Whereas you come in, regardless of, you know, what you look like, you have makeup, big hair, and wearing heels, they automatically assume that you have no idea what you're talking about. And that, you know, actually I can school most guys on Red Sox history since 1912.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting dynamic when you are... showing that off, but still it doesn't garner the respect that it should.
See, when
there are so many women broadcasters, there are so many women in sports journalism
when we were at TKK, Shay was the one who was doing the harassing. She was tormenting the poor producer on that show.
But the host of the show was referring to me as Sexy Shay.
Yeah, well, that's so... yeah, that was your identity.
Yeah, I did harass Adam a lot though, didn't I?
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, he wasn't...
he was there and he was willing. And it's, you know, it's sort of like, well,
so
there you go.
And he had just the tiniest crush on me, which, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. somebody gives you a tool, you're going to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. But this kind of thing, I mean, you're in broadcasting, you're together all the time, you're working long hours. We don't know that there's any actual substance behind what's been alleged here.
No, and of course, and when we had discussed what had happened with Roger Ailes and all of the...
There was a lot of evidence
of
in
course,
that case.
No, and with the accusations that were coming out, regardless of the position that the person had with Fox News. And I said, we actually got in a really big argument about that in saying, yes, this happens all the time because it's, you know, it's Trump's headed on the... tour bus, it's just locker room talk, whereas you are constantly trying to prove yourself. In sports broadcasting, I have personal experience. I can tell you that is a fact. This happens all the time, that you are constantly, every single day, trying to prove yourself.
But even taking out trying to prove yourself, Derek, I think you made a good point, where even it is just when you spend a lot of time around people, working with them, and you get into a certain rapport, the lines are gray.
Yeah.
Because now you're starting to get into, you're almost justifying.
Oh, I'm not trying to justify sexual harassment, but I am saying that.
Here's the thing. At what point, I mean,
are we talking about in a male sense? In a male's mind?
Let's look at Roger Ailes.
It starts,
okay? Women go into his office.
I can't use us as an example because you harass me.
Yeah. But, well, I have to because you're attractive.
You're gonna keep me in line.
And people would say things about me if I didn't. And I don't harass you either. much. This year. It'll come later. Mm-hmm. In the case of Roger Ailes, he had women coming into his office for meetings. And the hands are out, and he's like, come on over here and kiss me. And hey, you know, you want more time on the network? Unzips his pants, and it's like, let's make this happen. And these women are shocked by this. There's a difference between that situation, which is obvious sexual misconduct and obvious sexual harassment, and a situation where you have, say, a couple of co-broadcasters, or a broadcaster and a producer, or on-air talent and a camera person spending a lot of time together, and somebody gets a little handsy. You know, at where is the relationship? Mm-hmm. Men and women are always going to read different things into situations.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to completely point a finger to all the males that are working, you know, at Fox Sports and saying that, yes, you're harassing
all
the women.
Guilty.
Because
yeah.
I am, and even as a female, I can take a step back and saying, because of what is going on, because of the situation and environment, are people very quick to assume? Because nowadays it's like somebody looks at you and smiles, you're like,
harassment, microaggression.
They wanna have sex with me.
Yeah, like that's, I know what they're thinking.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Is it a little too quick to the punch?
Well, and sometimes too, it's a matter of you, as you, what I was trying to get at, I was not trying to condone sexual harassment, but when you do spend so much time with someone, you develop a rapport, you develop a, this is how we joke around with each other. You develop a, like even today, so I'm, you can't see us listeners, but I'm wearing a mini skirt right now and I changed at work and left work wearing it. And
that's
one of the chefs,
listeners, just for me.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely. I was like, ooh, my bald married friend. I absolutely want to wear a mini skirt for you. It matches my Harry Potter shirt. Shut up. But like one of my coworkers who we don't like, we're not like super flirtatious or anything, but we do. He was like, whoa, you're wearing a skirt. Where are you going looking all good? And like,
people so much.
But it's one of those things where it's like out of context, you could look at that and say this is sexual harassment. But just with the rapport,
even escalated in the industry,
but
which it is.
Oh, I mean, I feel
I gotta
like
remember that line.
I've been in this.
Where are you looking?
Where are you going? Looking all good.
Where are you going? Looking all good.
And I was like, shut up! I just dressed this way.
I think you actually said that to me last week.
Actually, verbatim, you said that to her last week.
Why are you looking all cute?
Oh, high five!
I said cute and not good. But, where are you going? Looking all good. Yeah, come on. That's something they say now.
But my point being that, like, taken out of context, you could look and be like, that's harassment. But this is a guy who has a girlfriend, who has kids with, who we, that's just the way
and
we interact.
Unfortunately, for many people, that doesn't matter.
True. But
where are these people? And why don't I know them?
Why aren't either of them my co-hosts on my radio show?
Why? I got two women in here. Why do they both have to have morals and care about things? God, help me.
P.S. I'm just wearing this because the outfit matches my Harry Potter shirt and my new chucks.
From your wife.
Of course you did.
In food news today,
I'm Molly.
Sports.
Neither of us will ever bang your husband. Sorry, continue.
In food news today, we learned sports and beer always go together. The Texas Longhorns have a new sponsorship deal with a beer company, and it's not exactly the first one that comes in mind when you think of the Lone Star State. Corona, a Mexican import beer, announced Wednesday that it has reached a deal to become the official sponsor of the Longhorns. Corona, yes, that's right. In a state home to Shriner, Revolver, Ryan and Sons, and plenty more, let alone the fact that Austin itself has home to dozens of brewers, Corona is now the official beer of the Longhorns. And they even have a new slogan, quote unquote, horns up, limes in. Quote, there really isn't anything more emblematic of a state of Texas than a storied history of a four-time football championship Longhorn as being partnered with Corona. They are honored to be a part of the legendary Longhorns' love, and we are excited to raise our Coronas and hook the horns this season as a part of the statewide platform, end quote. While UT Austin is a dry campus, alcohol sales are permitted in athletic events.
So let me see if I understand this. A college football team, mm-hmm, where the majority of people on campus and the majority of people on the football team are not old enough to drink.
Yes.
Is being sponsored by a beer company.
I'm going to
you hit with all those words that I said the most relevant piece of this story.
Mixed messages? Don't drink, kids. It's bad. Oh, by the way, here's our new college sponsor, Corona.
Because I'm going to take that just one step further to point out that Corona is a Mexican beer company.
Yeah.
And Texas hates letting in Mexicans.
Oh, do they? Because I think they're making a lot of money off of it.
Where's the president while this is going on? How does this make America
Derek,
great again?
You want to know
He's
why?
Too busy commenting on people's faces.
Yeah, you want to know why a beer company is sponsoring a football team? Oh, well, hey.
Well, I know why a beer company is sponsoring a football team. Come on.
Introduced alcohol sales during the 2015 season, racking up $1.8 million in revenue in one football season.
Oh, no, but that's got to be a coincidence, right?
No. Yeah. No, if you're going to the game, you're getting hammered. That's what you do at football. You drink.
I think that's like the reason that 80% of football fans are football fans. It's yeah. like, ooh.
So according to the Houston
Chronicle,
used to
drink outside during the day.
If we actually sobered up enough to be aware of what went on during a football game, we'd never come back.
All right, so I said that was 2015. 2016, it jumped 20% to $3.1 million in a season. Yeah. In a single game, the season opener against Notre Dame, $701,000 in the stadium in just alcohol sales.
Yeah, we got a lot of Irish coming down for that. So between that and the local hopheads,
mixing fighting Irish with Texas people, my goodness.
Yeah, but of course, you know, talk about alcohol sales at sporting events. This has been a concept and been kind of frowned upon by the SEC, which is one of your biggest divisions in NCAA football. This increased when LSU started adding the beer garden to Tiger Stadium.
I don't have a problem with beer sales at a college football
game.
No,
of course.
Particularly because as much as, a lot of, almost every freshman, sophomore, most juniors are underage, football games are one of those things that are frequented by alumni that are frequented by just straight up fans of college
football. They don't have a team like the Patriots.
Yeah, like this is their proximity. Yeah, like this is their
yes, I mean, like the Patriots. But you are born and bred to be a NCAA football fan.
I got nowhere to be for the next 4 hours. Give me some beer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the mentality.
And an orange hat.
And that's fine. You want to sell beer at the game, you want a beer garden at the game. Everybody's getting liquored up tailgating ahead of time anyway. We know this. When you rise to the level of sponsorship, when we spend half of our time talking about college kids drinking themselves to death, college kids dying because of hazing that involves alcohol, date rape, car accidents, all the other bad stuff that goes around alcohol, why do you have a beer company sponsoring your college football team? Mm-hmm.
You can't be protesting all about college rape and saying that there needs to be this focus on it when exactly what you just said, you have what the college is known for.
What are the terms of sponsorship? You get a free case when you show up for your freshman orientation. Here's your case of Corona. Welcome to Texas.
Nice. Drink responsibly.
Not a good look at all. Who's going to put their foot down on this? Mm-hmm. Nobody.
But it's not a good look for either side.
Nobody. Because the NCAA wants the money. The university is making the money. And anybody who's going to complain about this, as I am, they're going to be like, well, you're a prude. It's like, I'm not a prude. I would like to see some consistency here. Don't spend all your time telling the kids, don't drink. And if you're underage, you can't drink. And go have a beer company sponsor your football team. You can't have it both ways. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you only get one.
But drink responsibly.
Magnificent. In technology news, the internal combustion engine is dead, according to Volvo, which announced that all of its vehicles would be fully electric or electric combustion hybrids by 2019. The company plans to launch 5 new electric and hybrid models between 2019 and 2021, and previously made a commitment to selling 1 million electric cars and hybrids by 2025. Other automakers are expected to follow suit, though the future of electric cars depends on ownership costs coming in line with the current range of vehicles with combustion engines.
Dang, you stole one of my did-you-hears.
Same.
Well, this, but this.
I mean, this is huge.
This is a big story.
When I wrote it, I was like, this is going to be Derek.
I was thinking the exact same thing, but I was like, maybe, I don't know, they made a mechanical bee or something.
Maybe he fell asleep behind the wheel too.
This is a big, big story because, as I like to point out every now and again, we are living in the world of tomorrow. The world of tomorrow is here. The world of tomorrow is the world of today.
The future is now.
We have sex robots. We have electric cars.
Wait, we do? Where do I get one?
Oh, yeah. You can get a sex robot. They're on the internet.
All of them.
That's why they're out of stock.
We've got like computerized everything. Like we're living in the future. And the combustion engine, sooner or later, has to go.
Yeah.
The big problem that we have right now is that the sticker price of hybrids and the sticker price of electric cars is much higher than the sticker price of little combustion engine thing. Because we've been making those for years. Mm-hmm. We know how to make
them. They're cheap parts.
They got to go out and build a whole new platform to make these cars work. We're at the point, though, where if you can convince a consumer that the lifetime ownership cost of that vehicle is the same, because you're not buying gas, you're not getting oil changes, you're not doing all these things that you have to do for a combustion engine, then if the cost is the same, people might actually consider electric vehicles.
No, and of course, Volvo announcing this is very pleasing for the environmentalists, but, you know,
and the
more
entire
so,
state of Connecticut.
It's probably suppliers are the biggest winner because cars need both combustion engine and also an electric motor. So it's a big win-win for the supply chain in cars. And hey, we need jobs here.
There's still some technical limitations here. You don't have the range in an electric vehicle. Mm-hmm. You don't got to have the gas engine in a hybrid to get that range. And they don't work in the cold. Slight problem. They don't start because the battery's cold. We'll figure that out someday. But we're getting there.
Well, I do find it interesting that, and I think one of the most compelling things about this is the fact that it's Volvo, that it's a non-Japanese company.
It's actually a Chinese company.
Originally it's a Swedish company.
But they're owned by the Chinese now. So this is the Chinese basically saying the electric vehicle is the future.
Yeah, like, what a... But, well, the fact, just in general, that it is, you know, it's been widely agreed that Volvo has the safest vehicle you can have on the road. And they, maybe just short of Toyota's, they last very long. They're very reliable. And the fact that it's someone with that reputation coming forward and saying, you already like us, you already respect us. We're saying this is the future. It's different than, like, you know, like Dodge saying this, or like Mitsubishi, or like, it's like, this is a very well respected and not luxury car company. Like, don't get me wrong, Volvos are nice cars, but it's not like Mercedes or Lexus, or it's a company, it's a reachable brand.
They're also significantly not one of the largest car manufacturers in the world.
Mm-hmm. That too. And the fact that they're so popular with that information, and the fact that they're so common, speaks volumes.
This is a way that a smaller, more nimble company can come in and say, okay, we know this is the future. Everybody in the industry agrees this is the future. But this is a way for a smaller company to come in and say, we're going to retool now.
We're starting the future.
We're starting now, and we're going to take all your market share. So you guys have fun catching up to us.
Enjoy your little cute little combustion.
And the hybrids are
It's not a bad strategy. Now, I will tell you this. In the United States, it's going to be a tough sell. Because the American car buyer, maybe not the millennials who aren't buying cars anyway, but the American car buyer and the historical, you know, American car consumer likes the internal combustion engine. Mm-hmm. We like that it's fast. We like that it's powerful. We like that you can fill it up and you can drive 500 miles. We love all those things about it.
Look what happened the minute that gas prices went down. People went back to what analysts thought were going to be a trend more towards hybrids and fuel economy cars.
Oh, SUVs are back.
The minute it went down, people were getting large SUVs again.
And here's one segment of the market.
Because we all know that a single person needs an 8-passenger vehicle.
This is another thing to think about with Volvo.
You're going to compensate for something.
Volvo does not make trucks. And you are not going to get a truck buyer, you're not going to get an American truck buyer to go buy an electric engine. Ford managed to sell them on a diesel hybrid, but that's as far as you're going to go.
I run on diesel.
Well,
I mean, that's part of, again, that's actually part of why I think it makes so much sense that it was Volvo that did this.
Yeah.
Because if Ford or Dodge or, you know, if someone whose main source of income is selling trucks to people wanting to haul their whatever, it wouldn't work. They're a niche while still being very widespread and very common. They're a small company and a very niche company that this is the proper way to go for their consumer.
If Ford,
not for every consumer, but for their consumer.
If Ford had made this announcement a majority of their customers would have said, up yours, I'm buying a Chevy.
Yeah, exactly.
And make no mistake, there will be one company.
That should be a slogan. That should be a slogan for Chevrolet. Up yours, I'm buying a Chevy.
There will be one company in all of this that drags its feet and keeps making the internal combustion engine that will command a portion of the market.
Of course.
Because they're the ones that have it. Mm-hmm. And it probably will be General Motors. Because Ford seems to be forward-thinking. GM is making the Dodge Challenger and the Charger again. And it's like, what? Nobody wanted those in the 70s. They were a bad idea then. They're a worse idea now.
I think that the... I was going to say, actually, probably the best thing about those cars is their names. They're very intimidating.
Oh, they're good-looking.
The Challenger.
They're good-looking, and they'll go really fast in a straight line over a short distance.
Sounds like wrestler names.
Yeah. Tonight on WCW, it's the Challenger versus the Charger.
Other than that, I remember when they brought the Dodge Charger back. They
had that. WCW even exists anymore.
They had that commercial where they had the founding fathers. Like,
oh, yes,
George Washington and John Adams, like, driving across the battlefield in muscle cars. And it's like, yeah.
Always have a place in our South.
You guys know your market. That is what I thought looking at that. I'm like, you guys know your market.
It's like America.
The only thing you could do to make this a better sale to your market would be to figure out a way to mount a gun rack in the back of that thing.
No one. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Weather is going to be less crappy over the next few days. How does that sound? Do we like less crappy weather?
I like warm.
Might be a little.
I was going to say, we know what kind of weather sun. Lisa likes.
Might be a little.
So like, is it going to be 90? Is it going to be 90?
Might be a little chilly for Lisa's taste. Temperatures in the low 60s tonight, and the humidity is going down a little bit. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high around 80 degrees. Lows in the mid-60s tomorrow night. Much less humid than it's been. Friday, we get rain. Clouds, rain, high of about 70. Lows in the mid-60s, more like a late spring day than the summer day. Saturday, look for some scattered thunderstorms, mostly in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-80s, lows in the mid-60s. And then Sunday is your winner for the weekend. Mostly sunny, nice and dry. None of that nasty humidity. Highs in the mid-80s, lows in the mid-60s Sunday night. So that's what you got coming up.
WMFO Medford.
Not bad. Good weekend to do some yard work once the storms blow away.
Or to play some cornhole, which is what I'm doing on Saturday.
Good beach day in there.
Good cornhole day.
Saturday, those thunderstorms might be hanging out over the new kids.
Yeah,
on we're the covered.
So.
No, so. Cornhole tournament, no thunderstorms. Can't do it.
Well, it's that summer thing. You know, they blow in late in the afternoon, and then they disappear, and then you get on with your day, and everybody's happy. WMFO Medford is the station. 855-915-9636 is the phone number. When we come back, did you hear... What? Why is there someone talking? When we come back, did you hear all of the other stories that caught our attention this week here on WMFO Medford?
How can you tell a blade chuck roast from an arm chuck roast? The blade chuck roast has a long, thin cross-section of the shoulder blade bone, and the arm chuck has a small, round arm bone. Both make excellent pot roast. The arm chuck has less waste, fat, and bone, but the blade chuck is usually more tender and can be oven roasted if it's USDA Prime or Choice. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Uh-huh.
I was about to start up my ATV on a trail near a bunch of dry brush, and ooh. Smokey told me that was dangerous because one spark can start a wildfire.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
No kidding.
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
Kidding. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.